There's no clip. Hayom Yom Shishi B'Shabbos. Today's Freitag. It's Friday. And it's Tezvav Tevis. Kai Messiah Rabbi Shlomo Musaf Achedish Arevi. Aguf Nenem and Aguf. Now, we have a new custom to learn on Friday a Maimer. And I'm looking forward to it. And we just started it. It remains to be seen how much work it is and how well it develops. But the idea is we learn a Maimer from the Rebbe, from the more recent Maimorim. And the idea is to finish the Maimer in one shot. That doesn't mean we learn it all. It only means that we don't come back to it the next week. Every week is a new Maimer. It's very exciting. It's a wonderful new type of learning. It's not just a new learning, it's a different type of learning. We're learning Chassidus, Taka and Taka the Rebbe's Chassidus, but in a way where you come one morning and you know that no one's going to hear anything tomorrow that you didn't get. If I have something to say that's important, I'll say it today. Now, this is our fourth. We did three such classes so far. Vayeshev, Chanukah, and Vayigash. From Tafshin Memches, 1988. There is no Vayechi from Tafshin Memches, so I went back to Tafshin Mem Zayin. As you can see, this is a Maimer from 1987. Tafshin Mem Zayin. And Belineder, mit den Eibishtin's Hilf, this is the plan. In other words, if we don't have a Maimer for a particular year, we'll go back to an earlier year. We'll make it work with Hashem's help. We'll try to learn the Maimorim Al HaSeder. But this Maimer is from Tafshin Mem Zayin. And here we go. Next week already you have a Maimer from Pashas. This is a Maimer Vayechi. What's the Maimer about? It's about what is, without a doubt, the Rebbe's favorite topic. If you follow the Rebbe at all, you know that the point in Avodas Hashem, in Chassidus, that is at the center of his life and his influence, it's Nesava Kodesh Baruch Elias Leis Baruch Dira B'Tachtenim. I probably could have asked you and you would know the answer. What's the most important slogan to the Rebbe? So some would say Hamaisa Hu Ha'ikir. Other people would say Dira B'Tachtenim, but it's the same difference. The most important focus of the Rebbe is the idea that you have to change the world. Lasas Leis Baruch Dira B'Tachtenim, to make this world a home for the Eibishter. This phrase, Nesava Kodesh Baruch Elias Leis Baruch Dira B'Tachtenim, is a medrash, and the Alter Rebbe brings it in Tanya chapter 36, Perek Lamed Vav, which is devoted exclusively to this point, which is called Dira Le'Yisbarach B'Tachteinim, Dira B'Tachteinim. Now, you know, I'm sure, that there are different Taimei Habriya, there are different reasons for creation that are brought in Chassidus and in other Sforim, but Chassidus analyzes the various different reasons that are given in Torah for creation. And if you will, punches holes in them. Chassidus shows the deficiencies, the flaws, the faults in all the various other reasons that are given for creation. For example, one of the reasons brought for creation is Hashem wants to express himself. Another reason brought for creation is Hashem wants to be known. This is from Kisvei Arizal and from the Zohar. And Chassidus analyzes this. The reason which you'll hear outside of Lubavitch, the mainstream Yiddish reason is Teva Tev Lehetiv Chafetz Chassid, the Eibishter wants to be kind. It's the nature of the Eibishter to be kind. Chassidus finds flaws with these various reasons and concludes that the real reason is Nis'ave. Nis'ave means, first of all, Lavatayves Kein Kasha. You cannot explain why. This is what he wanted. Lias Leis Baruch Dira B'Tachteinim, to have a home for himself in the lowest world. Why is the reason for creation? Nis'ave Kodesh Baruch Lias Leis Baruch Dira B'Tachteinim. So if you do me a favor and look on page Samach, second paragraph, and we'll read from the beginning. Everybody knows the tachlis, shetachlis, kavana sabriyehi, the ultimate purpose for creation is mashen isava kodesh baruch Hashem has a desire liyis lei yisbarach, to have for himself yisbarach dira, a home betachtonim, on the lowest level. And as Chassidus explains it, adam dar sham b'chol atzmusi, Hashem wants that he should be able to express all of his essence in the lowest realm. V'hainu, and what does tachtonim mean? Ve'elu mazeh atachtim, this the lowest world. There's no world lower than it. And he quotes Tanya chapter 36. You cannot say that the purpose for creation is the higher worlds, because as far as the higher worlds are concerned, it's a decline, it's a descent from the face of God. As opposed to in this lowest world. What does this mean? This means as follows. The higher worlds are expressions of the light of God. Oyer. The light of God is an expression of godliness. Giluyim. Where was the light of God before it was revealed? It was inside the Eibishter. So the creation of all of the higher worlds, which are created by the light of Hashem, the process of creating them is actually taking the light of the Eibishter and making it less. So now the Rebbe says, you cannot say the purpose of creation is, for example, for Atzilus, because Laham Yedidim are part of his Baruch. Atzilus was in a better place before creation than it is right now. This world, Tachten, is El Masheket. This world is a lie. Before the Eibishter created it, it wasn't in a higher place. It wasn't. It didn't exist. In other words, the higher worlds have a certain aspect of truth that was diminished in creation. This, the lowest world, has no truth at all. It's all false. And prior to having been created, it did not exist at all. So this is why this is the world. This world is the purpose for creation, because this is a new thing. How could the Eibishter make something which is new? The answer is, he creates a lie, because truth always existed. And this sheker becomes an emes. Into the sheker we bring the emes. And therefore we are taught that the purpose for creation is to make a home for Hashem in the lowest world. And let's make it very clear. We have seven Nesiyei Chabad, the seven Rebbes of Chassidus. And each Rebbe has a different emphasis, a different priority, right? The Alter Rebbe's job was to create Chassidus Chabad. The Rebbe's job is to bring Mashiach. Not all the Rabbeim talked about Dira B'Tachtanim with as much emphasis, with as much centricity as the Rebbe does. To the Rebbe, it is everything. So we're learning a maimed about Yankev Avinu Bechi Yankev Eretz Mitzrayim. And the foundation of the maimed is that the purpose for creation is for Hashem to have a home in the lowest world. What does it have to do with Vayechi? What it has to do with Vayechi is that everybody knows Yankel lived 147 years. Kuf Mem Zayin Chana, 147 years. And it says in Svarim, Yaakov gave David HaMelech 28 years because he was supposed to live 175, which is the same age as Avraham, or within 5 years of the age of his father Yitzchak. And Yosef was supposed to give him 37 years. 28 and 37 is 65. And then the remaining 5 years he got from Avraham Avinu. And this is the total of David HaMelech, 70 years. Yosef, Yankiv, and Avraham gave David HaMelech 70 years. It says also that the other mission gave David 70 years, but that's a different thing. This is 147 years. He himself, Yankiv himself, identifies his life as ma'at veroyim, as miserable. He had a very, very hard life. Yankiv Avinu's hardships, if you think just for one moment, of Yankiv Avinu can't possibly be only material hardships. They're certainly spiritual hardships. The reason this is so, because of all three of our avos, the one who represents Golus is Yankiv, right? Avraham Avinu represents Hashpah. Yitzchak represents holiness. Yankiv represents suffrage. That's what they represent. Yankiv's whole mitzvah is Golus and Gula. She says to Pari Melech Mitzayim, I'm 130 years old. I'm not nearly as old as my parents and not nearly as accomplished. I'm a miserable man. He had 12 children who were all tzaddikim. That was a byproduct. And Teyre says, Yankiv Avinu lived in Egypt 17 years. 17 happens to have the numerical equivalent of Toy, which means good. It says in Svarim, I think it's a Balaturim, that Mivchash Nesav Yankiv Avinu, Yankiv's favorite years, choicest years, were lived in the land of Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe asks, how could you say that? How could you say that the best years of Yankiv Avinu's life were lived in Mitzrayim? So I'm such a terrible place. He could certainly have lived better in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, not only could have lived better in Eretz Yisrael, he did live better in Eretz Yisrael, right? You have to understand, between when Yankov returned home and Yosef was sold, was about 8 years. Yosef was sold at 17. Yosef came home at the age of 8 or 9. So there's 9 years between when Yankov returned home, 9 very good years when he lived in Israel with his father and everything was wonderful, was glorious and holy and so forth and so on. And yet we say the favorite, the choicest years of Yaakov Avinu are Dafke Neretz Mitzrayim. This is the question. And the answer is, because Yaakov Avinu is that Av. Yaakov Avinu is that father where you see the beginning of the process of Dirali Yisbarach B'Tachtayim, of making of Hashem the home of the lowest world. That means, we have three of us. They're all the patriarchs, the start, the beginning, the table setters for Matan Torah, for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and for Leidas Am Yisroel, and Kibush Haaretz, and Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and Bizgalos Melech HaMashiach. But it wasn't till Yaakov Avinu that things that we do started. In other words, the others started from a very high place, and they came down slowly from a higher level to a lower level. It was in Yaakov Avinu that this was fully manifest. Yaakov Avinu, as a third of the patriarchs, was the one who actually, in fact, brought about the stage setting, the beginning of Dira Betach Tayrim. You'll see it soon in Mitzvah Hashem and the Maimon. The Rebbe is going to say exactly that. And he accomplished it in its final step, its complete step, at the end of his life. So let's put it this way. Yaakov Avinu went through all kinds of hardships. Went to Golos, and Yisurim. He produced the choicest crop of children of all the others in Chutzlaretz, in times of great duress, and so forth. But the full measure of bringing Hashem to the very lowest level, Yaakov accomplishes in the last 17 years of his life. And because he's such a big tzaddik, this is considered his best years. So let's continue to read exactly where we stopped from. V'zehu inyin ha'yirida l'mitzrayim. And it explains, from Yaakov Avinu's personal point of view, the significance of his going into Egypt. In other words, of course we know Yaakov went into Egypt, so we should go into Golos, or his children. But for Yaakov personally, v'yechi galech, the choicest years of his life, were the last 17, because he was in the process of making the Eibush at a home in the lowest realm, in Egypt. Shehu b'shvil, it was, lastes le'yizbarech dire betachtayim, to make for the Eibush at a home in the lowest realm, personally. We are the children of Yaakov Avinu. We're the nation of God. And that's our purpose. That's our mandate to change the world, ultimately. And that's the Rebbe's mission, his galus, to do this, in fact. But Yaakov had to set the ball rolling to create the precedent. Perhaps you could say all of his life was going in this direction, but it wasn't achieved wholly, completely, entirely until he came into Egypt. And the Rebbe explains, the Mitzrayim Hainu, the land of Egypt, means, and he says three things. Number one, Leira kamitzarim ugvulim shalamaylo. Number one, the idea that there is limitation and containment on spiritual levels as well. This means to say that even when a person is serving Hashem, the Eibishter, even when a malach and an Eshom in Gani has an incredible relationship with the Eibishter, there's limitations there also. That's the meaning of the word Mitzrayim. So Yaakov went into Egypt. That means spiritual limitations. Ella, moreover, number two, hametzarim ugvulim de'ela mazeh atachten. The basic limitations of the physical world. The physical world as a whole is a place that limits. Everybody understands that. The body is a great distraction, a great burden on spirituality and purpose, and we have to deal with it. Okay? Ad lahametzarim ugvulim de'nyani yarashus. That part of the material world is that we must partake of things which are not directly tied to mitzvahs. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to, you know, wear clothing, we have to engage in commerce, and so forth. So the physical world adds additional limitations. And then there's number three, ulamata mizeh, and lower than the idea of spiritual limitations and the limitation of physicality, there's Eretz Mitzrayim kipshuta, the physical land of Egypt, shehiyad v'asa'aretz, which is a place of great abomination. And I think one way of explaining these three levels, he says, you have Meitzarim Ugvulim Shal Mailo, Meitzarim Ugvulim Del Mazeh Atachten, in Yoni Rishus, and Meitzarim Ugvulim Uetzam. I think you could say that this is Gvul in Kedusha, Gvul of Klipas Noiga, and Gvul of Sholosh Klipas Atmeyes Lagamri, of Ra. But the Maimer concludes, V'tachlas HaKavona Bayeride LeMitzrayim Hi, the ultimate purpose for which the neshama descends into Egypt, is lasis leyes barich, to make for the Eibishter dira gam betachtein zeh, a home also in this lowest level. So Yaakov Avinu lives his whole life, and as you'll see later, and I'm telling it to you now, he is the first of the others to do dira betachteinim. He completes it at the very end of his life when it comes to Egypt. So the Rebbe continues, v'zehu, top of the next page, this is why, v'yichi Yaakov eretz Mitzrayim, Yaakov lives in Egypt. And he has his choicest years, his best life in Egypt. Says the Rebbe, Sheikir Chayev Ushneisa Bachi Teves. The primary life and the preferred years. Shal Yankev Chay B'Mitzrayim Davka of Yankev Avinu lives in Egypt. Ta'av She'Mitzrayim U'Mokam Achi Yodadoh, Egypt is the lowest place. Avamikiv and Shabimitzraim, since in Egypt. Kiyim Yankiv is Hakavon, Atachos Hakavon. Yankiv carried out the ultimate purpose. The last is Layez Barach Dirbetachtoinim, only in Egypt did Yankiv, so to speak, descend so low as to begin the process of elevating the world from the bottom. Like the Rebbe brings in the Maimorim, the Moshel. When you want to lift up a building, you have to use a lever. And lift it up from the bottom, says the Maimer, Areza, Mitis Acham Yankiv. That's the real life of Yankiv Avinu. Why? We all know the degree to which the Avos were bottled to the Eibishter. The Avos were a level called a chariot. A chariot means that they were physical entities that carried godliness. They were holy. Their entire existence was that the Lakus, godliness, manifest on them. Had they move them, we self understood. We talk about such a human being. His life is primarily lekayem akavonu, to fulfill his purpose. Umekivin shetachlas akavonu, since the ultimate purpose is the lasis leis barach dira b'tachter, to make Hashem for the lowest, in the lowest level. And what is the lowest level? Hoya b'mitzrayim. Lochein shom dafka. This is why dafka in Egypt. Hoya ikir chayav shayanka. This is where Yanka begins to live. The Rebbe has a sicha which we learned. Chayisar tovshin and beis. Where the Rebbe says inyan enigle. Which is, I think it's very controversial, but he says like this. There's a halacha in Torah that says a Jew is not allowed to give away everything that he owns during his lifetime. A person during his lifetime is not allowed to give everything away. Because then he becomes a dependent. And you're not supposed to be a dependent. If the Eibishter gives you panos, you have to look out for yourself. We learn in Chumash that Avraham Avinu gave everything away to Yitzchak Avinu 35 years before he passed away. 35 years is a long time. The Rebbe asked the question, what halachic permit, what halachic justification was there in Avraham Avinu doing that? And this is a shayla niglin. And the Rebbe answers, in effect, the same thing he said here. Avraham Avinu was a merkava falakos. His whole identity was godliness. Therefore, his whole life was his purpose, which was lafasam alakusi, his baruch ba'elam, to teach the world about the Eibishter. Who represented to Avraham the continuity of this? Yitzchak. Yitzchak was going to be the continuation of this person. Therefore, api halacha, api nigla, when Avraham Avinu gives away all of his possessions, the bottom line is he doesn't have money for breakfast. He's allowed to do it because he's giving it to himself. Giving his wealth to Yitzchak was giving it away to himself. In other words, anybody else, as much as we love God, we love ourselves also at least a little bit, wouldn't be allowed to do it. But the Avos, their entire identity is a Merkava. There's nothing to their identity other than the service of Hashem. Al pi halacha, al pi nigla. He's allowed to give away everything he owns to the person, to the preservation, to the continuation of his purpose, because that's his metzias. It's a very big chiddush. In nigla d'teira, it's a big chiddush. So the Rebbe, this is why, since Yankov's whole identity was his Merkava for the Eibishter, his choice this year is to live in Egypt, because this is where he achieved the epitome of dira b'tachtein. And then the Maimer continues with a very interesting observation. Arguably a detail, but the Rebbe builds from this amount. Do me a favor and look at the first line of the Maimer, the Pasuk, page Samach. Let's read it inside. Vayechi Yaakov eretz Mitzrayim shvah esrei shana. Yaakov Avinu lives in Egypt 17 years. The total of his life was Shnei Chayav, the years that he lived, Sheva Shanim, 7 years, V'arboim ma'at shana, and 40 and 100 years. This is what the pasuk says. Now we know by the Avos, by Avraham. Avraham lived 175 years. So it says Me'ah shana, V'shivim shana, V'chamesh shana. First 100, then 70, then 5. Yitzchak lived 180 years. So it says, I think it says Ma'as shana, U'shmoinim shana, 108. By Sarah it also says Meya shana ve esrim shana ve sheva shana, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Here by Yankov it says backwards, 7 years and 140. And of course, two observations could be made. The first of all is, why is it written backwards? By tzaddikim, you write the seder from the higher numeral to the lower numeral. It's also common sense. It makes sense in mathematics. You write a higher number first. Why by Yankov to start off with seven? And the second question, which the Rebbe doesn't even ask, but it seems quite obvious, is how come he doesn't have two separate shanas? V'arboyim shana, u'ma'as shana. The 40 and 7 go together. So the Rebbe gives a very interesting answer. The answer that he gives is the point that I mentioned earlier. It's true taka that the whole purpose of Yiddishkeit is Dibur Tachtonim. Why did the Eibishter create the world? To make a home for Hashem, the lowest realm. In other words, you make a Dibur Tachtonim by engaging in the Gashmistic world. I don't know if you're familiar with this. But in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asks the question that we ask every single day. Why did the Eibishter create a Yetzer Hara? Chapter 35. But he doesn't ask it simply that way. He doesn't say, why did Hashem create a Yetzer Hara? Why did Hashem create a Yetzer Hara that will never overcome? A boy last night came to me and said, Nubi for the Shir, Admasa. I don't want to fight anymore. Admasa. And the Alter Rebbe writes, Leika Larik. You're going to fight with Yetzer Hara your whole life and it'll be a waste of time. Why? You'll never win. The Alter Rebbe asks, Lama, Madua, why David should do it? And the answer is, because it's the Yetzer Hara that brings us in touch with the lowest level. And that's the purpose. In other words, if no Yetzer Hara, we'd all be holy. If we'd all be holy, we wouldn't affect Dina B'Tachtayinu. So the whole purpose for creation is to bring Hashem to the lowest level. This purpose starts out with Avraham Avinu, with Yitzchak Avinu, with Sarah Imenu, and it continues to Yaakov Avinu. But it was only Yaakov who began to do it. And because it was only Yaakov who began to do it, by the Ovis, by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Sarah, the years of their lives are enumerated from the higher number to the lower number. Because the hundreds represent Keser, the tens represent Moichin, Chabad, intellect, and the single digits represent the Midas, the emotions. So by Avraham, it's 100, that's Keser, and 70, that's Moichin, however you would explain it, and 5 would be Midas. By Yitzchak, it would be 100, that's Keser, and 80 would be Moichin, however they would explain that. And by Sarah, we know 100 is Keser, 20 is Chochmah and Bina, and 7 is the 7 Midas. Yaakov is the first person who does it. They are setting the stage. They're bringing godliness into the world. So Avraham brings godliness into the world by disseminating it. Yitzchak brings godliness into the world by Pashut being a prototype, a holy man. Yaakov goes into the trenches. Turn over your page. Page Samach Beis at the top. V'yashleimar hatam. This is the reason. Shegabe Yaakov nishtana haseder. Only by Yaakov Avinu. Top of the page, on page Samach Beis. Only on top of the only by Yaakov Avinu is the order reversed, and it says the number 7 before the number 140. Mikmei Shehu Basara, as it is by Sarah, and the same is true also of Avraham and Yitzchak. Ki Basara Hayerak Tchilas Avayda. Sarah, and I guess also in a different way, Avraham and Yitzchak are the beginning of the service. Lachain Haya Avayda Bazeh. Therefore, Sarah, even if she has a Shaykhes to Dira B'Tachtayinim, her approach is Besedi De Malmala Lamata. You start out above the world, and you slowly descend into the world. Shema'as Shana, which goes on Keser, Nimshach Be'esim. You go from 100 to 20, which goes on Chabad. And then it comes down to the level of 7, which goes on the emotions, which has to do with B'tachteinu. Mashayin ken Yankiv, as opposed to Yankiv Avinu. He's the choicest of the others. V'haya be'eretz Mitzrayim, he found himself in the land of Egypt. In other words, Tachtein, Shein Tachtein, L'matam Mimenu, the lowest level. As we discussed earlier, 3 different steps in what it means, the lowest. L'chein davke etzlei nifel b'tachlas hashleimus. Therefore, only in him did you see manifest completely ha'inyan hanal the dira b'tachtayim, the idea of elevating the lowest level, making a home for Hashem the lowest level. So the Maimer is telling us a very, very big chiddush. From Avraham Avinu, there's the inyan of dira b'tachtayim. But it isn't until Yaakov Avinu that it is done in such a way that his very identity is identified by Tacht. How was identity identified by Tacht? That when you enumerate the years of his life, you start with 7. Even Sarah, says the Rebbe, who also was involved in Dira B'Tachtayinim, as I'm going to explain to you in a moment, but in her it still came from a higher level to a lower level, from 100 to 20 to 7. It says in Maimonides, this is a classic idea, that the difference between the Ovis and the Imahis, between the patriarchs and the matriarchs, is Atzilus and Malchus. In other words, the Ovis were holy, removed from the world. Sarah was involved in the world, like you have in Maimonim of Eter, which is this year, the 100th anniversary of learning Eter. The Rebbe Rashab explains, and it's brought in another Maimonim as well, Sarah fixed what Chava and Noach messed up. And I gave you a shir on this once this year. Chava and Noach, Chava got involved in Eitz HaDa'as. Noach got involved with wine and he became drunk. What does that mean? Their idea was to elevate the lower worlds. They failed. Sodom succeeded. So the Maimon says, Avraham and Yitzchak also are the stage setters to Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe mentions in the end of the first paragraph, in page Samach, Shnei Atzadikim. Shnei Atzadikim means Avraham and Yitzchak. But Avraham and Yitzchak, you could say, since they were Atzilus people, have no Shaykhah Zedir B'Tachtein. But Sodom, we know what a Shaykhah Zedir B'Tachtein. Says the Maimon, even though Sodom, as a matriarch, has a connection to the real world, in her it's still from the top down, it's still from a perspective of holiness. Who is the first person who not only got involved in elevating the world, but got involved in elevating the world from a point of view where Vayechiga left, he didn't start living until he came into the lowest level, is Yaakov Avinu. And therefore Yaakov Avinu was the first of the Avos that the order of the enumeration of his years begins with the number 7. Okay? So we've learned a point and a half a point. The first point that we've learned in this Maimed is that Yaakov Avinu's best years are lived in Egypt, because the reason the Eibishter created the world is for Dida B'Tachtonim. Dida B'Tachtonim is materialized. Dida B'Tachtonim is brought into fruition and into reality in Mitzrayim. Right? So Yaakov Avinu has his choicest years in Egypt. We also learned that the earlier Avos, and even the earlier Imahis, though they were certainly setting the stage for it, didn't do it actually. The one who begins to do it really is Yaakov Avinu, and therefore it's only in Yaakov Avinu's enumeration of years that it's done backwards from the number 7, then to the number 40 and 100. So now the question becomes, what is the connection? Turn back to page Samach Aleph now. What is the connection between enumerating his years backwards from the single digits to the tens and hundreds? 7 becomes the first number enumerated in Yankov's total of years. What does it have to do with Dira B'Tachtein? And the Rebbe begins the second paragraph on page Samach Aleph. V'hine Yadua, the explanation is this. Everybody knows, She'ikir HaVedas HaAdam V'Yabir HaZayin Midah. The job of a person in this world is to elevate his 7 emotions, like it's explained in Tanya and explained in other places. Right? We're not going to have to elevate our intellect until Mashiach comes. Right now, our job is to elevate our emotions. Why, says the Rebbe? Because in the psyche of a person, in the muhus, in the ruchnis of a person, emotions are tachten. Right? Dira b'tachten, make a home for Hashem in the lowest world. Every situation has a different lowest. In the spirit, in the soul, in the mahus of a person, the lowest is the human emotions. Why? For a number of reasons. First of all, because the emotions are erratic. The emotions are animal. The emotions are not subtle. I like to explain it this way. If you needed to give a scientific allusion to the difference between the mind and the mind operates like particles. The heart operates like a wave. That's how the emotions work. They build up a force that's very connected and singular. The heart is simple. The heart is not complex and subtle. It just feels. The mind is complex and subtle. So the heart, it's being erratic. It's being, relative to something higher, brutish. Just a very powerful force is representative of a lower level. But there's another reason why human emotions are the lowest level. Within the psyche of a person. The human emotions are the lowest level in the psyche of a person because the idea of the emotions is to reveal, is to show. Like it says in Chassidus, you can't have emotions without others. You cannot feel if you live alone. Emotions have to do with relationships. Kindness has to do with another person. Even hate has to do with another person. So human emotions are interactive. They have to do with hityachsut, relationships with one person and another, which is the lowest level of a person. The deepest level of a person is the person's identity and relationship with himself. And a deeper level still is a person's relationship with his source. The lowest level of a person as such, I mean the spiritual person, not the physical person, is his relationship to things outside of itself. So for these two reasons, and certainly there are more, but for these two reasons alone, human emotions represent within the scheme of the person the lowest level. Which is the reason why we were only given 7 lands. When we conquered Eretz Yisrael in ancient times, the Maimon says this, and the last 3 lands we're only going to get when Mashiach comes, because those 7 lands represent the human emotion. Right? What do we know? What is the explanation that's brought in Chassidus? Hashem gave Avraham Avinu 10 lands. He had to give them all 10 at once. He can't divide up Israel. He gave him one land, one nekuda, 10 states. We only received 7 of them. The remaining 3 we're only going to get when Mashiach comes. So what is the normal explanation? The normal explanation is because we're not capable of elevating our mind. We're only capable of elevating our heart. We got the 7 lands, which represent our ability to elevate our hearts. He was saying the exact opposite. It's not a matter of capability. It's a matter of priority. It's not like we can't elevate our minds. It's not that big a deal. The purpose for creation is dira b'tachtayna, to make a home for Hashem in the lowest realm. Making a home for Hashem in the lowest realm in the person is to refine his emotions, refine a more brutish force, and refine the dimension of himself that is by design existent to have a connection to things outside of itself. So Yaakov Avinu's enumeration of years begins by Yechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, 17 Shana, by Yehime Yaakov Sheva Shana. First of all, Yaakov lived 7 years. Why 7? Because 7 enumerates his life, the 7 emotions. Now, Sara also lived 7 years, and Sara was involved in Birurim. But Sara 7 is listed after the 100 and after the 20, because Sara started out from a place of holiness and descended into Mitzrayim. Yaakov's whole purpose was to get to Egypt. Until he got to Egypt, he didn't feel alive. So the Torah enumerates, Yaakov lived 7 years. In other words, Yaakov's identity was the first person that you could say actualized dira b'tachtayim, and therefore the beginning of his enumeration of years is the number 7. And only afterwards does it say 140. And the Rebbe gives 2 explanations for this. Ubazeh yuv, on the next paragraph, please, the last paragraph of page Samach Aleph. Ubazeh yuv, when we now understand Seidar mispar shneisov shal Yaakov, the order of the enumeration of Yaakov's years. First of all, Sheva Shon, we lived 7 years. And only afterwards, Aboy Mama Ashon, 140 years. Ki ikir chaye Yaakov hu, the primary life of Yaakov Avinu, ba'avedosei in his service, lasas leizbarach dira b'tachtena, to make Hashem a home in the lowest realm, which is related to, which is connected to, in terms of the human spirit, the human emotions. But lechenikir avedosei hu, what was he busy with all of his life? Bebirir azayin midas davke, as holy and pristine and as refined as Yaakov was. Yaakov was teira. Right, but he didn't live for Teira, as this Maimon teaches us. He lived for Birurim, for elevating the world, which is represented by the 7 emotions. Sheva Shanim, 7 years, and he brings Sheshar Shem Mizayin Techtenas. The Atik, it's rooted in Keser, Kivur about the Nishmil Maila Mikolo. So you start off by saying Yaakov lived 7 years because Yaakov was the first person who obsessed over this idea. He didn't also make Dira B'Tachtenu. He exclusively made Dira B'Tachtayim. His Indian was to elevate the world. The fact that he knew so much Taita was ma'at v'royim. It was deficient. It was not life. Yaakov said, I'm a mekavah for lakus. What does the Eibishter need? Eibishter needs Dira B'Tachtayim. That's not achieved until Vayechigya left. Shvas Rishon of Eretz Mitzrayim in Egypt. So the Taita first says he lived 7 years. And then it says 140. Or 40 and 100. What is the follow-up of 40 and 100? So the Rebbe gives 2 explanations. The first explanation goes like this. After the Torah tells us that he lived 7 years, in other words, he lived for Avedas HaBirurim, he lived for Dira B'Tachtayim, it says it affected the higher levels of his neshama. It affected the number 40. Translates to Rebbe, what is the number 40? 4 times 10. Shehu Shehem Dalad HaMoichim. There's a concept of 4 faculties of intellect. We know that there are 3, Chochma, Bina, and Das. But in many Maamarei Chassidus from Kabbalah, they bring that Das is divided up into 2. Das, Noite, Klape, Chesed. Das, Noite, Klape, Gvura. Like the 4 Pashas of Tefillin. 4 also has to do with intellect. So Yaakov descended to the lowest level and dealt with it. And only then did he start living. And he was so effective in living, in his elevating the lowest world, his mind had an aliyah as a result of the Dira B'Tachtayim. And I'm reading on. Yaakov Avinu got involved in the trenches in the world and fulfilled his purpose and began to really live and elevated what was his spiritual side, his mind, and also his soul. The number 40 represents his mind, and the number 100 that goes on Kesed represents his soul. So what's the first pshat in the Maimit? that Yankiv didn't start to live till he was able to go to the lowest level. And then the Yerid, the Tzairach Aliyah, the effect of the ascent, of rising up, affected the higher levels of his identity as well. Now I want you to skip one line. You see, I'm holding Inam. I want you to skip Val Derech. Four lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Val Derech. This corollary of 7 to Midas and 40 to Moich and 100 to Kesed, it's similar to Hamavur Baruch Bebiyuri Azeh Chayasara, what's explained in Chassidus in Biyuri Azeh Chayasara. Beinyan regarding Sara's years, Vayiyu Chayasara, Meya Shanav Esem Shanav Esheva Shanim, suddenly the 100 years goes on Kesed, 20 years goes on Moichin, and 7 years goes on Midas. But in the case of Sara, first, Sara starts out higher and descends lower. Okay, she elevates the world as well. Yankiv was unhappy, ma'at v'rayim, till he reached the lowest level and he works backwards. He elevates the world and then elevates the higher dimensions of himself. So according to this pshat, what are we saying? He lived 7 years. That was his job, to elevate the world. And it affected the higher levels of his neshama as well, his emotions and his mind. But that leaves one question. What is that question? It should say, this doesn't say in the mind, but this is my own commentary. It should say, Arboim Shana Uma'as Shana. Just like it says, 7 years, it shouldn't say 40 and 100. Right? Look at the first words in the Maimon. Vayiyim eyangav shnei chayiv sheva shanim v'arboim u'ma'as. 40 doesn't get a separate shana. Why? If it's 3 different levels, 7 goes on the 7 emotions, which is tachte, which is Yankov's world. And the 40 goes on intellect, and the 100 goes on his neshama, on his soul. Keser, so it should say, arboim shana ma'as shana. So the Rebbe has a second answer, which he gives us in one measly line. And I got to tell you, the only way I was understood, I looked up the source of this Maimon. It's 4 pages. It's not one line, it's 4 pages. And I read parts of them. Look at this. Inami, there's another explanation. A whole different explanation in the 140 that says by Yankiv. Arboim ma'as shana heim beis pamim shivim. That 140 years doesn't mean 40 Chabad and 100 Kesed. 140 years means 2 times 70. What does it say in the Maimorim? It says in the Maimorim a whole new insight. And the essence of it is that 40 doesn't mean Moichin, and 100 doesn't mean Kesed. 40 and 100 means 20 times 7, or 7 times 10 plus 7 times 10. And the idea is as follows. We always assume that the higher numbers are higher levels. Says the Maimon, no. By Avraham, 100 is Kesed. By Yitzchak, 100 is Kesed. By Sarah, 100 is Kesed. By Avraham, 70 is Chabad. And by Yitzchak, 80 is Chabad. And by Sarah, 20 is Chabad. And then the numbers 5 and 7 are Midas. Yankiv doesn't, the Torah doesn't even enumerate the premise of Yankiv Bechlau. It makes no reference to Yankiv's effect on his mind and on his soul. You know why? It doesn't matter. Dira b'tachtoinim means to bring God to the lowest level. Who cares what's happening l'mayla? What's the pshat, 140? 140 means the expression of the emotions. 7 means the emotions as they are kernels. 7 emotions means 7 basic attributes. But everybody knows how dynamic and how complex and how involved emotions are. In other words, every emotion is multiplied by various other emotions. So the second pshat in the Maimon, that the 140 years doesn't mean Chabad and Kesed, it means how those emotions go lower and lower and lower still. He explains it in Kabbalah language. I'll just tell you the Nekuda that is called Yemei Olam and Yemei Kedem. There's the years of time and the years that are higher than time, which is basically Atzilus and Kesed. And each one has 7. So that's why you have 2 times 7, which is 14. 14 times 10 is 140. And the idea that's the point is that Yankiv descends to the level of Mitzrayim, and in his own person he involves himself with his emotions, and he takes his emotions lower and lower and lower. The lower you bring the emotions, the more they expand, the more they become details. And the 140 that are written by Yankiv Avinu are not the higher levels of Yankiv Avinu's neshama, but lower, 7 means the emotions of Yaakov Avinu. The 140 means the ripples of Yaakov Avinu's emotions. In other words, even lower. So this second pshat is very different than the first pshat. The first pshat says Yaakov descended to elevate the lowest world and then elevated the higher dimensions of himself. The second pshat says forget the higher dimensions of himself. They're unimportant. Yaakov descends to elevate the 7 emotions and he creates ripples. The ripples from Yaakov Avinu's emotions are even lower than Yaakov himself. And the 140 are representative of how Yaakov's involvement in the lowest level, that in his own person represents the 7 Midas, would affect the world as represented by the number 140. Which is why, I'm explaining, it doesn't say Shana twice. Because the 140 are one. It's not 40, Moichen. And 100, Keset, 140 means 20 times 7, which goes in Yemei Elam, Yemei Kedem, each one multiplied by 100. So we learn something very profound about Yaakov Avinu, that although he's the third of the Avos, he is the first one whose life is defined by starting from the bottom and raising it up to the extent that it's conceivable that you don't even bother with higher levels, they're completely unimportant. Like everybody knows that when the Rebbe had typhus, Le'aleinu, and he was Fayachal delirious, and the Rebbe Zechana said that the Rebbe was talking, and he was speaking words, random words, and if you would listen, all he was saying was that the higher worlds are very, very holy, but God is interested in the lowest realm. The Rebbe was a teenager. The holy world, the higher worlds are very holy, but all that God is concerned with is Dira B'Tachtayim. As a teenager, Dira B'Tachtayim. And in whom did this manifest? It manifested in Yaakov Avinu. Now let me explain to you how profound this is. Of all of the others, Yaakov represents Tayyidim. In fact, the Tayyidim calls him Ish Tam Yeshiva Olam. Yaakov was a pious, pure, innocent soul. And the Hebrews said from him, your avoida is to do exactly the opposite of Yomahus, to come into the lowest level. And Yaakov made himself into his avoida so much, he studied Torah day and night. He says, I'm not alive because I'm not struggling. It wasn't until the very end of his life that he achieved this madrig. Now, for purposes of full disclosure, I gave a shir to some men last night, and I learned the sikha from the Kuta Sikha's Chelik Yud, which is mentioned here in the sikha in footnote 2. But if you learn that sikha, the entire point of that sikha is, in a way, the exact opposite of this maimer. This maimer says that Yaakov Avinu didn't start living until he got into the trenches. That maimer says, because Yaakov came to Mitzrayim and he learned Torah, he was above the trenches altogether. How was it? Vayehiga left, he was Torah's aninyan atzmi, higher than Milo Mati, had no shaychas to Elam Hazeh whatsoever. And of course, for homework, you'll figure out a resolution to this here contradiction. I just want to add one point. I don't have time to finish, but on page Samach Beis, there's one more paragraph. And in this paragraph, the Rebbe makes reference to the fact, of course, this week is Pashas Chazak. We're finishing Bereishis. And the Rebbe observes that Sefer Bereishis is called Yashar, fair, straight, Sefer HaYashar. And the Chazal say, why is Bereishis called Sefer HaYashar? Because it has to do with the Aveis HaOlam, who are called Yasharim, who are fair, who are straight. We always assume Yashrus, straightness, to the opposite of sin and the opposite of struggle. Pious people go straight. Beinanim go straight. Bali Tshuva are not Yashar. Bali Tshuva are Enish and Gever, not Yashar. So the Rebbe says, Sefer HaYashar finishes Dafka with Yaakov Avinu. Moreover, it doesn't mean it finishes with Yaakov Avinu, it finishes with the Shvatim. These are Golos Jews. That's what they're the prototypes of Golos Yidden. They are prototypes not of holiness and removal from the world, but engagement, birurim, tachtoinim. And the Rebbe says, the Torah calls the whole Sefer Bereishis, Sefer HaYashar, to underscore that the Avodas HaBirurim, the struggle of going into the lowest realms, and even Avodas HaTshuva, that's Yashar. Yashar means the purpose which the Eibishter created the world. Yashar, Yachzof HaNeimei, is to descend to the lowest level. Even though in Kabbalah, you usually associate Yashar with being above it. The Torah says no, Sefer HaYashar doesn't finish with Avraham and Yitzchak, it finishes after with Yaakov Avinu and perhaps even with their children. And the Rebbe says, that's what we say, Ach tzaddikim, yedu l'shmecha, yeshu yesharim, espanecha. Yesharim doesn't only mean tzaddikim. Yesharim means every single Jew, even those who are bilateral. Okay.